This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Weather State Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
Matt, I should say host, but also realtors with Oakland Realty in downtown Vancouver. Today, Matt, it's just the two of us talking about something that's very timely and pressing.
And we near and dear to our hearts.
We had to get it out. We had to get this podcast out. It couldn't stay in. This is the two of us talking about how to make sure that you don't leave any money on the table this year.
This is selling your property in the spring of 2024. And you know what?
Top dollar.
Here's the thing. You said this year, and I might put a little asterisk there because I think a lot of this is timeless.
Yes.
Built up over, you know, years and years of selling real estate.
Evergreen.
Evergreen content for the listener. But a lot of this is also very specific to this early spring market in 2024. And it feels like every week's a little different. So we're talking, we should timestamp this. This is
March 18th,
2024. So some of this is pretty specific to this moment.
Yeah, exactly. But before we get to that, Matt, ripped from the headlines, we have the MLA Newswire Weekly headline, a pre-sale update brought to you by MLA Canada Advisory Team. I love these.
You know what? Lots of positive feedback.
Yes.
I feel like this is such a great addition because like instead of talking about, you know, getting my jacket stolen or your trip to Costa Rica, we can now actually provide intel.
You got your jacket stolen?
I feel like I remember. I always think of a story I told about. It got tons of feedback back in the old days. Remember at the pool downtown, I got my jacket stolen.
Yeah.
And my shoes.
Oh, yeah.
My kid was swimming there and I had to, it was like
Wait,
a walk.
Get home, by the way?
Walk of shame out of the pool, the aquatic center.
Shoeless.
Shoeless midwinter and jacketless. And I remember people loved that story. It was many moons ago, though. I think that was like 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
But instead of stuff like that.
Not a lot of people. I'm just wondering who stole a pair of size 6 men's shoes. That's what I'm wondering.
In a tip-top jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In a jacket that looked like a pillowcase. Here, let's
get back to the pressing matter at hand here. But these are great little tidbits. So here's the ripped from the headline. MLA Intel headline here, Surrey making splash in the market. How is Surrey City Centre making a splash right now? Here's how, Adam. They have witnessed a surge of activity this year in 2024 with more concrete towers launching this year so far.
This is in the first 3 months of this year.
Then all of 2023. Three towers have launched there in the last 3 weeks with one more about to launch. That is more than all of last year. There was only three concrete towers during the entire 12 months of 2023.
Wow.
So,
over 1,000 units for new construction launched already this
entering
year.
The market in 2024. So what does that tell you? I mean, MLA has some thoughts. What are your thoughts?
So I'm guessing developer confidence based on
you don't launch if you can't sell them.
Yeah. And also, there's more optimism around the potential of rates being cut this year, right? So, I mean, now would be the time. I'm guessing actually maybe part of it too is the gift from David Eby on PTT could be part of that as well.
Oh, that's one I have not thought about.
Yeah. But just, I mean, even right there, if you're an investor and you like the long-term urban development prospects of Surrey City Centre.
Well, and that's why it's been exploding. You know, I feel like investors have been flocking to Surrey, for the last 5 years plus.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like the growth trajectory of Surrey is kind of undeniable and pretty exciting.
Yeah. And of course, some affordability there too. I mean, even though I'm always kind of gobsmacked when I see price per square foot coming out of Surrey and some of the prices that these towers can achieve, At the same
time, they actually achieve them.
I am a believer, though. I used to think, you know, it used to be like using Surrey to explain why certain things in Vancouver were affordable. But I feel like Surrey is one of the submarkets that's really kind of disconnected from the rest of the Lower Mainland right. in a way that it's super exciting. So anyways,
lots of growth, and that's what real estate investors and real estate aficionados is that what they call them? I don't know where I'm going with this, except to say that's what people like to see. And I think that's why these launches are happening. If you liked what you heard there, subscribe to the MLA Newswire, a daily email roundup of the latest real estate news and market insights. Visit MLACanada.com to subscribe now.
Yeah, Matt. And let's also, just before we get to our conversation, we should say this week is sponsored by Scalina Real Estate as well. This is our real estate company in Vancouver. Really exciting time. Lots of new listings being launched. It feels like there's a buzz out there. We are now firmly planted in the spring market.
That's right.
And we've had a lot of success with a lot of listings lately, a lot of stuff selling in a timely manner. And here we are talking about a listing today.
That's featured at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, 704 1225 Barclay Street. What I love about this one, Adam, is it's a large one bed, 1989 building.
Yes.
Concrete, 28 units. Okay. So this is what you'd call a boutique concrete building. They don't make these too often. And if they do anymore, and if they do, they're very, very expensive. This is in the West End, a large one bed, fully renovated in the last 2 years, like stunning renovation. So much natural light south facing. It's on Barclay. So you're kind of Barclay near the corner of Butte.
Yeah.
So you're close to Robson and Alberni, all of what's great about Coal Harbor. You're also fairly close to Davie Village and English Bay. It's a quiet residential street. There's nothing not to like about this one.
Check it out. All the listings that we have are featured at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. While you're there, you can click Sell With Us, which will give you access to the Sold Plan, a step-by-step guide to sell your home for top dollar in the shortest amount of time. And we're going to be unpacking that a little bit today.
There's going to be some features of it.
Some features of the Sold Plan today. But really what we're talking about is, first of all, I'm going to take a, this is a Taylor Steele told me this when I was talking one time. He said, just go up there. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you told them.
Is that true? No, it wasn't Taylor Steele.
Was it not Taylor Steele?
I think it was Mark Twain. It was Mark Twain.
Was it Mark Twain?
Yeah.
I thought Taylor came up with that on the spot. Tell them what you're
going to... Did he actually tell you that?
That's hilarious. He said, get out there and tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you told them.
No. Tell them what you're going to tell them.
Yes.
Tell them what you told them.
Okay, well, I screwed it up.
Introduction.
I told them what I was going to tell them.
Conclusion.
Then I gave them the conclusion and then I told them. But anyways, I did it in...
That's hilarious that you're like, I think this is attributed to Taylor Steele.
Yeah, Taylor Steele came up with this. No, I knew it was a Mark Twain. I just... I think he did it half as a joke. Turns out, though, that's what we're doing today. So,
that's what we're doing. Actually, we have broken it down into three sections. What are these sections?
Sections are... first one is understand the market. Second one is control what you can control. And the third one is, I think, one of the most important, if not the most important, be best in class. And there's specific ways for how to do that. And so, Matt, I'll see you on the other side of the music.
Without further ado.
We'll unpack that in a minute. This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one-beds to three-beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/sonhaus. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Okay, Matt, so how not to leave any money on the table? And as I like to say, or as our good friend Taylor Steele said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And he was talking about the fight in a property is what he was meaning. Let's jump right into this.
This guy's a genius.
Is that another Mark Twain? We're going to start here talking a little bit about the market, because the market's been it's been a funny thing for a while.
Well, here's just to back up a little bit. I mean, in terms of getting your property sold for top dollar in 2024,
yeah,
the first thing you need to do is understand the market, right? Sure. So let's just unpack what's going on in the city of Vancouver and surrounding areas, March 2024.
Right. Well, okay. So if I had to think of a way to describe the market recently, it's stalled recovery and a moment of maybe false starts.
Like it does feel
optimism.
Like
there's these moments of optimism. There's these moments of pessimism, and they're moments. That's exactly what they are. It's like it's often created by news cycles, but there's a rhythm, right? And there's the things that just fundamentally are there, like the low inventory, you know, there's good absorption. There's a lot of balance in a lot of the markets. There's certain submarkets that are favoring sellers. There's certain submarkets that are favoring buyers. But generally speaking, what we're feeling on the ground is like these moments of like, it's getting busy. And then there's moments of, it's not quite as busy as we thought it was. It's very fleeting.
Everything's fleeting. I feel like the idea is stalled recovery. Like when I think, I was actually talking to a friend of the show, Justin Smith, earlier today, and I said
Hawkeye
Wealth. You know, it's funny, in January, it felt like we were really revving up. And if you listen to the show, I think you probably heard us talking about that. If you go back and listen to like
real moment of optimism,
the third, fourth week of January, even like I think Brendan Augmentson was on the show and he was pretty cautious. And we were like, hey, Brendan, like the way my phone's ringing, it's going to be a really busy spring. And that was a moment in time that I think probably happened around the optimism about rate cuts happening late spring, June, and maybe up to 6 rate cuts this year, right?
Right.
It felt like everything, looking back, centered around this general positive optimism, high level. And I feel like since then, we've had just it's like a series of stalls in the fight against inflation, right? It's like and I think there's another, by the time this goes out, I think there's another CPI read.
Yeah.
But it does feel like you're like, oh, that wasn't quite as good as everyone was expecting. Oh, we missed the mark there. Oh, it seems like
the economy's too strong.
Yeah, the inflation is far stickier than everybody thought. So now it's like, oh, is June still a moment of dropping interest rates? Are we higher for longer? Is it maybe 3 cuts this year? In any event, it feels like it's like we've talked about purgatory on this show. It's like, I thought we were out of the woods. It doesn't seem like we are. And the funny thing I said to Justin, which we've talked a little bit about on this show, is if you talk to 10 people, not everybody follows that there's like an inflation print coming out this week. But for some reason, it really filters through the market pretty quick.
Yeah.
Whether or not somebody's following along that closely, it's like there's the market really responds quickly. And right now I feel like we're definitely not seeing the optimism we saw in January.
Yeah. And I would say, so the biggest thing right now, and we've talked a little bit about this on the show, but it's never been a more important time to really understand your submarket and the type of property you have and the demand for it in this market, right?
Right.
Because there are definitely things that I would expect right now to hang around longer. And then there's certain properties where it's like, okay, this is gonna be really popular. And it has to do with the fact that there's a particular type of buyer that seems to be very active in this market,
mm-hmm.
More end users,
People moving through the market.
And so that tier one type, that really great, those great properties in certain price bands, in certain areas, really have the potential to go crazy. And the marketing strategy and the pricing strategy might be very different. But there's also a lot of stuff that's hanging around. And like, let's just even talk about just first in terms of understanding the market, understanding sub-market data. So, I mean, if we pull up the stats right now and we look at, say, downtown Vancouver in condos and townhomes, it's a 15% sales ratio, which means it's a very balanced market. It's right. Not favoring sellers. It's not favoring buyers. And that's an opportunity, I think, for buyers to go and shop with some selection and to negotiate a decent deal. And for sellers, that means you have to be well-positioned in that marketplace, right?
You have to look like good value.
Exactly. But where we could say contrast that would be like a different type of product, like maybe even condos on the east side, which, you know, the sales ratio is 28%,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like that's condos and townhomes on the east side. Certain markets, you know, like Fraser, you know, 42% sales ratio. Certain other markets.
And that's like, just to put that in larger context or a different way of saying it, is that in Fraser, it's like half the inventory is absorbed in February.
Right.
Whereas downtown, we're talking about 1.5 of every 10 condos listing are selling, right?
Exactly.
So it's very different market dynamics if you're thinking of selling.
Yeah. And I mean, even
and how like, you approach it matters.
And even like, you know, in North Van right now, condos, 42% sales ratios in condos and townhomes in North Vancouver. So, you know, depending on the sub area. And then if you talk about price bands, I mean, it totally, then it changes everything as well. Like, I mean, if we look at downtown, the most active price bands are in that $500,000 to $600,000 range, which is, you know, 41% sales ratio, right? But once you go 600 to 700, it's 23% sales ratio. Mm-hmm. So that number drops down substantially, right? And I think if we go across the board, not only do you want to be, if you're a seller, in a sub area that has a high sales ratio, but you also want to be in a price band that has a high sales ratio.
Right. And if you're not, you want to know that and market your property in a different way, right?
Totally.
It's like, these are the things that as a first step, it's like, okay, I have to understand general market conditions.
Yes.
And then I have to understand, you know, who's the buyer and how many of them are out shopping and what's going on in the sub-market for the property type that I have.
Right. So in understanding the market, sub-market data is everything. Understanding the dynamics, understanding that this market is still very spotty. And just because you heard that your friend who has a townhouse in Main Street got multiples, it doesn't mean that your one bedroom in the West End is going to sell the same way, right? It's not universal. The activity is not universal across the market, and you really got to get into the weeds and understand what's going on in your particular market.
And this is where it's worth saying, I mean, a local agent with experience is crucial, right? Because I was going to say, like, another way of framing it as opposed to Main Street versus downtown is good friend of the show, Jaden Lee, realtor in Chilliwack. We had him on the show, a month ago?
Yeah.
We were talking about Chilliwack being the opportunity. It turns out since then, saying there's any causality. I'm not saying we move markets. But what I am saying is Chilliwack, according to Jaden, is really, really busy.
Yeah, it is very busy. And you've seen some price escalation there in a very short moment of time, like 6 weeks, some real movement on prices.
But you know how we know that? Because we're friends with Jaden Lee. Like we're not the guys to talk to if you're in Chilliwack.
Yeah. Like Matt, if I told you I was floating down the Vetter River on a tube, you'd have no idea what I was even talking about.
No, I would not. And I still don't.
It's a place in Chilliwack.
Like,
I'm not sure if you can float there in a tube, but this is why you need This is why you need a local expert.
Well, you need somebody who understands the market, and you also need somebody, when you say experienced agents, there's a reason the 80-20 rule applies in real estate, or the busy agents become busier, and it's like self-fulfilling in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's because people want to work with people that are busy, but you want to work with people that are busy because they understand the market dynamics, because they're transacting in that market.
Totally.
They have listings and they know what kind of activity they're getting on them. They're helping buyers and they know what type of buyers are active in that market. It really, you know, it's one thing to read the stats and the snap stats, the sales ratios that we were just talking about. But it is, in terms of understanding the market, I feel like there's no better guide in a lot of ways than getting somebody who's really grinding it out day in and day out in your area.
Market. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, and everybody in our, like everyone that's been listening to our show in the VREP community should know by now, it's like just how important the submarkets. And the reason that I use the example of the West End place versus the Mount Pleasant place is because that just goes to show, like, even within a market, like to be on top of the various submarkets and price bands,
right,
in a really concentrated location.
I was going to say that's not even a good jog.
No, I know,
from one to the other.
Well, yeah. I know, but this is what I'm saying. And I mean, we specialize primarily in the city of Vancouver, and it's very hard to stay on top of one market and what's going on in one market at a given time. And I think you're really doing yourself a disservice if you get an agent who specializes in a different market to list your place in a market that might be foreign to him or her, because it's up to you to catch the nuances, and I don't think you're going to catch them, and I don't think your agent's going to catch them. And so, you could be leaving money on the table.
Right. So we're talking general market conditions, understanding submarkets, working with somebody who really understands, you know, lived experience market conditions.
Yes.
Last but not least, and this is something that I feel like this year has really been true. It was true maybe since about mid-2022. Optimism and pessimism are both moments in this market. There hasn't been we've had, say, last spring, that was like a sustained kind of run.
Yep.
But it really feels like the volatility in the lending market, especially, kind of trickles into our market. And it touch and go week by week. There's moments like in January, we sold a townhome that, you know, had been sitting for like
a while. It was a Q4 for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, right?
And it was like immediately, that was like early January, suddenly, bam, sold. And I don't know if that would sell right now.
Well, but this is the thing. So it was that feeling of, we knew in Q4, it couldn't get worse in November of, you know, 2024.
Yeah.
Or 2023. So it was that confidence to wait for a more optimistic period. But then also, when you're in an optimistic period, to you know, be rational about the offers that are kind of coming in, and don't let yourself project about how inevitably the market's going to get better, because it's not. That continuum that of optimism that you think exists,
right,
doesn't necessarily exist.
I feel like we're the idea of the yo-yo on an escalator.
Dustin Woodhouse.
That was a Dustin Woodhouse line, or was it Taylor Steele?
I think it was Mark Twain.
But I mean, we used to talk about the yo-yo on an escalator, and for much of the prior decade, say up to about 24 months ago, it felt like it was mainly the escalator we were thinking about. Like, you'd go through sustained, really long runs where it was very predictable what was happening in the market. And now I feel like we're in the yo-yo phase, where it's like, what I was thinking about that January sale was, you know, very little activity, suddenly a bunch of activity in January. But if we, at that point, projected out, okay, this is, you know, it's just going to get better month over month.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case. And I feel like we've had so many fits and starts that it don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there is. So I think there's a couple lessons here still under the umbrella topic of understanding the market is, you know, first of all, exercise patience in a market like this. If it does, you know, there's this old kind of idea, and Corey Wright on the Commercial Podcast always talks about it, but, you know, it's that if it doesn't sell in a week, it's broken. Or if it doesn't get 13 offers, it's broken. Because people here have been so spoiled by the fact that, you know, we've had a very active market for a very long time. We've had this crazy bull run. We've had very low inventory. A lot of people have made a lot of money on real estate. We've seen the 20, 30, 40% increases in a calendar year. And now when something doesn't sell in a weekend, it's like, oh, that's embarrassing. Like what a failure, what a failed launch. That's just not the case right now in the market, especially for a lot of product. So if you're hanging out on the market, you know, that's not the end of the world right now.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. Sure. And this is the thing. And there's so many tools at our disposal to kind of try and capitalize on moments of optimism. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's trying to kind of like have all the marketing materials ready and pushing play when it feels really solid in your particular submarket. Or maybe it's a cancel relist at a time where there feels like momentum and you've been on for a bit, but there's ways to kind of course correct and get around it. And I actually think right now in moments of optimism, when you get that offer, if you've been hanging around for a while, take it seriously.
Absolutely.
Okay, Matt. So number two is control what you can control. And this reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe. Taylor said that to me when I was going up to do a presentation. I hadn't prepared. And this is a quote about preparing. No, that's an Abraham Lincoln quote from Notebook 25 of the best.
But yeah, Taylor was the one who first told you about it. Yeah, is that right?
Exactly. Filtered through Taylor Steele. Here it is. But the idea essentially as you know, if you sometimes people can't listen and understand at the same time.
Right.
So just to put it back, 6 hours you've got to cut down a tree, spends 4 hours sharpening the axe. Preparation is almost everything, right? And what we're all about, and I think what we've noticed over, you know, 15 years of selling hundreds of homes, the amount of upfront prep that you do ensures that you don't leave the money on the table, right? Like it's almost everything. Like if you can actually like a perfect, you don't always have the luxury of this, by the way, because sometimes you have to sell in a quick moment. Sometimes you have a tenant in property, a very limited control over how something shows or access. There's a lot of different things that can get in the way, but all in a perfect world, if you have the time and are willing to have just even 2 or 3 weeks to kind of get the prep in order, you will win.
Well, and here's the thing, right? I mean, two things about that. If you have the time and energy, it also in a lot of ways is worth saying, you know, it, depending on who you work with, a lot of that can be offloaded to other people, where it's not your time and your energy. But let's talk about why this is so important. I mean, it's important in any market. Right now, where we're seeing an increase in listings, we're also seeing an increase in sales, but quite a bit more to choose from than there has been in more than a year, for sure. People have time. There's not that sense of urgency in the market. People have more selection, and they can find reasons not to write an offer on your property, right? So there's objections to your property, and those are generally the same things we see over and over again. And we have systems to handle those objections up front.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the big wigs over at Oakwin, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakwin.com/join, typing in VRP2020.
This is, you know, back to kind of the idea of controlling what you can control. So, I mean, you know, in most cases, getting your home as show ready as possible. I mean, a great example of this is if anyone's been to a developer presentation center. And part of the reason you love what you see there is because, well, one, nobody lives there. But two is it's curated with beautiful furniture. They've had people.
It's very seductive.
It is incredibly seductive.
Every time I go to a pre-sale center, I leave thinking, I think I want to buy something at this pre-sale. I think I want to buy one.
Well,
I'm actually surprised at how often, like, you'll go in with a client and they'll go, eh, not super. I'm like, am I the only one who just fell in love? Like, well, every time.
It's a lot of thought and effort goes into presentation centers. And I think the same amount of thought and effort should go into your, you know, $1 million condo or $2 million house or whatever it is, right?
Or $400,000
or $400,000 anything, right? It's wild to see people just haphazardly put something on the market with very little effort, and it kind of blows my mind because I really do think you're leaving a lot of money on the table.
You're leaving money on the table, and you're also you only get that first, you know, everybody says it's like you get
first
one chance to have that first impression. And if you miss that window, it's actually you're amortizing the work up front over the course of the time you're on the market.
Sure. And it's funny because so some of the things that you know, I think.
But wait, before we do any of the what you should do.
Sure.
Big renos. Man. I get this all the time, right? What's the return on, you know, a new kitchen? Should I do the bathrooms right now? Should I do the bathrooms to sell?
Yeah. I'm more of a fan of, I think there's lower hanging fruit that you can use or that you can adopt that will save you money and also have a really good ROI. And for the big renos, I would, you know, mostly we're advising people against them. There are unique cases where big renos or not big renos, but where renovations might come into play. But for the most part, and the way we do this, of course, is we run the numbers on a renovated unit and versus a non-renovated unit, the cost of renovation, the access, the timelines to get the work done.
Right.
And we basically do a cost benefit analysis. And I find that most people opt out of doing the renovations. And it's mostly because of how expensive it is right now to get good trades and good work done in a timely manner.
Well, that and then the other thing that I feel like is really, and we've talked about affordability on this show, but with the stress test and the interest rates where they are, you know, if you put $100,000 into renovating a place or $50,000 or $60,000,
yeah,
the idea that you're gonna get a healthy return on that,
yeah,
people are not looking for that right now. They're not.
Or they're not looking to pay for
it. Or they can't, right? Yeah. That's the other thing. I feel like you're much better off, focusing on that low-hanging fruit and not doing the big, stressful, expensive reno that might delay. You know, if you think it's going to take 6 weeks, it might delay for 12 weeks or 15 right. weeks or whatever it's going to take.
You know, Matt, some of the low-hanging fruit, okay, so minor repairs, so cleaning up, blemishes, these are like patch and paint jobs, maybe having carpets professionally cleaned, maybe having, you know, dings and baseboards touched up, things like that. Often re-caulking a bath around a bathroom tub or some tile, you know, re-caulking work, basically taking out stuff that's really aesthetically unpleasing. It's funny, but we've talked about this on the show as well. There's often a lot of ceiling repairs. If there's any kind of staining from like an inactive leak or something to that effect.
Or even anything that resembles a leak in any way.
Yeah, that is, but it's been, you know, that's not a repair job. That's not an active leak, but something that's just a blemish that is your eye is drawn to, a discoloration that's been there for a long time. Taking care of these items, making sure that everything is functional in the unit. We always have a deep clean of a condo or a house done, which is, I think cleaners and clean is subjective. This is not subjective. This
No.
is like a deep, this is like a move out clean, like appliances, everything gets done bathroom ceiling fans, like everything gets cleaned. All the windows get cleaned. We have obviously somebody who does balcony and outdoor spaces now and can do it within strata bylaws. So things like that, that you can control and take care of. We're big fans on staging. Toronto and Vancouver are staging markets, full stop. Like this is, I think, maybe the best ROI on money spent is staging. And people always think staging is more expensive than it actually is, especially partial staging,
right?
Which is really quite affordable and can transform the way your property presents.
Well, at the very least, you want a staging consultation. You want somebody, an independent, somebody who does it for a living with a good taste to come through and say, and tell it to you like it is, right? I feel like that the one thing about staging consults that I like is sometimes they get a little, not uncomfortable, but it's like pretty blunt.
It's a little tough love.
It's a little tough love. And the idea there is when people come through an open house or a private showing and you're not there, they're probably going to be thinking the same thing. And it's going to impact the saleability of your home. So
yeah.
It's best to get that out of the way and to course correct or rectify those, the deficiencies, essentially.
The way I think about staging is it's teaching people how to use the space, people that maybe aren't spatially gifted. And then I also like to think about it as you may not live with a second bedroom and you may have an office, right? But a lot of people need, even in photos when they're clicking through, they need to know that it's a bedroom. So there's clear indicators that you should have in, say, a certain space to make sure that you're capturing the widest market. And that's what stagers do brilliantly is they're trained to kind of appeal to the widest market possible. And it's working with us to determine who is the buyer, who's the likeliest buyer, and how should we present this property to that likeliest buyer, right? In this given market.
In a lot of ways, you know, I think of staging as, you know, and you mentioned the going through a developer show home.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you look and you go, how much money did they spend on presenting the one bedroom show home? And it's done in a way, like I said, where you walk out and you're like, I think I got to sell my home. Yeah. I'm moving here.
You're moving.
And then you go to the next one. You're like, I actually feel the exact same way. Again, working with a stager with your place to make some modifications is essentially the same thing, right? You're trying to make it show home ready. And in most cases, you need a third party to come in and at least give direction, worst case scenario, and at best, stage the property.
And if you get even one idea out of that consultation, like we've had situations where we've got like one idea, and I can think of one idea specifically that I won't even share because it was a very good idea. But in the end, I think it's really what sold the property. So one idea that comes out of these staging consultations, I'll tell you after. You look like
I know. I was gonna say, can I guess? It's no, like that no. Couch is blocking the balcony.
Yeah. So for sure. Moving on to number three. So we've had understand the market as number one. Control what you can control is number two. And that's really related to the property. The only other thing I want to just quickly add on there is making sure that you understand what's going on in the building. And this is the job of your agent, but making sure that you have a clear understanding of any potential objections that would come up in the building. You know, I think there's a lot of great agents out there that review the strata docs up front and have answers for questions. But I also think that we can always do better as an industry that way, and that everybody should be reviewing strata docs and being able to talk to specific things. Because as we all know, buyers can rule a property out just in a moment. Like, right. Like it's actually unbelievable how quickly people go from, oh, this is a pretty great space to like, I'm concerned about that one question that was maybe wasn't answered perfectly, or that one, one dot on the ceiling that we all agreed could have been water, like a leak or something to that effect. It doesn't take much to steer people away from your property.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. Okay, Adam. So we've talked about understanding the market or your market in this case, controlling what you can control. And our last but not least, definitely not least, and especially not for March 2024, focus on your competition.
Yeah.
Not exactly. Past sales. And just to be clear on what we mean there, in a lot of submarkets, it's not the time to look 3, 6, 9 months back, a year back to pull a comparable that is favorable to pricing your property. You have to look what's on the market, and that you have to be fiercely competitive with what is on the market today.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of ways to be competitive, but we can talk about that. But the big thing to note is, like, if you think about Vancouver, just downtown, for example. So in February, there are 891 units listed and only 133 sales. So, a sales ratio of 15%, 1.5 out of 10 homes selling.
Like, just to be clear, that's 8 out of every 10
is hanging
a little
around.
Bit more than 8 out of every 10 homes are not selling.
Exactly.
Which is kind of phenomenal, actually, at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. So you want to make sure that, you know, if there are 133 sales and out of 891, you want to be one of them, right? And so how do you make sure that you're one of them? And that's the big thing is, you know, you have to be fiercely competitive. You have to be in best in class across the board. And that's the biggest thing, right? Being best in class. So so one is your product. So one thing is, first of all, understanding the differences and the nuances of a particular product versus other stuff that's on the market, right? How is this house different than the other houses that are listed? How is this condo or the building that the condo's in superior to other stuff that's listed? So understanding your strengths and your weaknesses and shaping a narrative based on that thorough understanding.
Right. And that thorough understanding, of course, comes from not only knowing your home and or your building, but the buildings in and around where you're living.
Exactly. Exactly. So one, we've got, you know, product and really understanding the product. Two is promotion. And this is a big thing, like in what we just talked about controlling, control what you can control. It's about presenting the property, but this is really about the promotional materials. So the best marketing materials possible and a marketing strategy that actually creates awareness and interest in the property, right? So what is unique and not only understanding.
And who are you talking to?
Well, this is it. Understanding who the buyer is and how to actually speak directly to that buyer. So, I mean, that's a huge thing, promotion.
Can I just say descriptions?
Yeah.
Everybody is, there's a lot of takes on descriptions. I find
everyone talks about photos, right? The big joke is the realtor who takes the iPhone photos.
Yeah.
But there's also the realtor that pays no mind to the description.
There's like two. And actually, it's funny. It used to be, well, it's still a thing. But if you go back, like often it was like two lines.
Yeah.
Two sentences, like one
characters.
Bedroom in Yale Town.
Yes.
Like, call Marty.
Well, let's not name names.
No. Fictitious Marty. But the point is that it's about crafting a narrative around the property. And one of the best ways to do that, you know, you have photo, you have video, and you have the description. And I feel like we are, for better or for worse, and I think it's for better, very strategic with our write-ups and also spend a lot of time on them.
Well, it's funny, but we were talking about this before we pushed record on the mics here, but I actually, when I'm looking for real estate in other areas of BC, for example, like if I'm monitoring the Kelowna market, which I do, I will, if I like a listing, I will devour anything I can find on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think people do. Is like people that are really interested, the people that are really going to put pen to paper and write an offer, they're not stopping at the photos and the viewing. They're devouring everything. They're looking through every potential item on that listing sheet.
How many times have you had a buyer ask you, do you have a floor plan for this?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's no, because it doesn't exist. Like no one got a floor plan done. And they're like, oh my God, I need the floor plan. Like, why wouldn't you have a floor plan?
I know. But this is the thing too, is that often what happens in even write-ups in like different markets, if I don't understand, maybe I don't understand how—
You don't know what you don't know.
Well, exactly. It's like it highlights that it's across, or it's close to this park, which is like one of the best parks in the city. And all of a sudden I'm like, okay, that park, I can now think about, you know, just the fact that it's close close to like really great amenities.
Right.
And or, you know, up in, you know, the future SkyTrain line or transportation hub or whatever. It's an opportunity to teach a buyer and coach a buyer or a buyer's agent immediately on the listing.
Well, no, but a friend, here's another example. A friend of ours who just saw him on the weekend living in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He talked and he found his first rental in New York, but it reminded me of that story years ago. And he's lived within a block of it ever since.
Prospect Park.
It was within a block of Prospect Park. The write-up had nothing about Prospect Park. He knew nothing about Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He got off the subway. He went. He was like, this in my price point seems all right. He's like, 2 days later, I'm like, oh my God, this is...
It's like a pool.
It's like living next to Central Park without knowing it.
Yeah.
Like literally Prospect Park's like that nice of a park. But it just goes to show. You know, that was like, he's like, that's defined my life ever since. It wasn't even in the write-up.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a rental market, but still.
No,
it's a good example.
I mean, it's a good example, but like moving on to so products, so really understanding.
Let's focus in on this narrative.
So product, promotion, and of course, price. And price just, you know, it's definitely key, but like pricing yourself in a way that you stand out for the right reasons and looking at what you have and through the lens of product and promotion and where we've been able to get the property and understanding the value of the property across the board. And value just doesn't mean price. And then comparing it to the product that's on. And I think that's where you really start to have like the aha moment of, you know what, we should sell. If all things considered, if we're in the right price point with the promotion, with the right promotion, and we have this type of product, we should go.
One thing I will say is pricing in relation to active listings it's imperative that you understand the sales ratios, because as the sales ratios, the lower the sales ratio, let's put it this way, the lower the sales ratios are, the less important in my mind the last sale is in the building or in the area. And the more important it is to stand out amongst the active listings.
Yeah. And being able to gauge the activity that other agents are getting with their listings and to adjust accordingly.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, getting feedback and having a feedback loop is everything.
Yeah.
So Matt, we had, we talked about understanding the market. We talked about controlling what you can control. And then of course, we finally have just talked about
focusing on the competition.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That's who you're up against, especially in a market or a sub area that has a sales ratio that's not optimum for you.
And of course, you know, like we said, pricing strategy and the way you approach a listing is going to change based on these sub markets. So that's everything. But of course, the focus on the competition. It's most important the lower that sales ratio gets, right?
100%. So Adam, some considerations for getting your home sold and getting your home sold for top dollar in spring of 2024.
Yeah, Matt. And we'll see you on the other side of the music.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion about getting top dollar in the shortest amount of time for your home or property in the spring of 2024.
And Matt, remember to be optimistic, because I mean, you got to have the rose colored lenses on when you're looking at real estate at all times. It's all going to work out. Everything eventually gets absorbed in this market. And as a good friend of the show, Taylor Steele, once reminded me, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. And this is really where I want to end.
I love being an optimist.
I do too. And so does Taylor.
Yeah.
What else do we got for the day?
What else do we have for the day? We have our website. That's the last thing we got to plug. And it's called VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Everything real estate related lives over there. You should go check it out. Yeah, we have things like the Live Wire. This is our weekly mailer, VIP pre-sale access, deal of the month, stats, different types of stats, the sales ratios that we're talking about here. Go out every month. You can dig into a submarket on your own if you'd like. We also have, of course, tried and true private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Just click buy with us and it will set, and you can set up your own free account. And I just, you know, I was just thinking back to the very beginning when we said, tell them what you're going to tell them and tell them what you told them.
That's right. Yeah.
And I don't think we told them what we told them. Or have we told everyone what we told them?
I think we reminded everyone, but yeah, give it a shot. Sure.
Just a quick reminder that if you are thinking of selling your home this spring, really, it comes down to some upfront preparation, a good pricing strategy, and really making sure that your marketing materials are standout and you're looking the best in class against the competition. And Matt, how can people get in touch if they want that?
Oh, they can call me at 778-847-2854 or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And of course, we have that nonpartisan Kokomo line info at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week and we're back here with another great show next week.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.